Welcome. You are listening to a sermon from Christ Chapel Barrie. Listen and be blessed.
Amen. Tell somebody, I am favored. Some people are not sure if they are favored or not. Tell somebody, I am favored. Now tell that person, you are favored. And that favor will abide with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We lift your name on high. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, as you go into your word, go with us.
Amen.
Speak unto us.
Amen.
Teach us, O Lord.
Amen.
Let none of us live here the way we came.
Amen.
For we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Let's have our seats. We are welcome in Jesus' name. And let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Our theme for this month is... What's our theme for the month?
Joy
cometh. Joy cometh. And so today, my word for someone is God will make you joyful.
Amen.
I say God will make you joyful.
Amen.
You will be a testimony of joy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26. If you are there, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. And now, very important. That is good in what?
In his sight.
In his sight. Wisdom and knowledge and joy. So to a man that is good in God's sight, he gives him three things. What are the three things?
Wisdom.
Tell your neighbor, if you are good in his sight, he will give you wisdom. He will give you knowledge. He will give you understanding. I continue reading. He said, but to the sinner, he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So, the Bible is saying, if you are good in the sight of God, he will give you wisdom, he will give you knowledge, and he will give you joy. Say, but if the Lord looks at you, and what he sees is a sinner, the Bible says, what will he do? He said he will give you three things too. Number one, he will give that person, it's not me, tell somebody it's not me, he will give that person travail. Then he said, number two, the person will gather and heap up. But what happens? What's the thought in there? That he may give to him that is good before God. Do you understand that statement? So, the man that is a sinner, the man who is not counted good before God, he will walk. He will, in fact, his bank account will be doing, looking beautiful. Everything will look fine. But all the work he's doing is for a purpose. What's that purpose? That he may give it to him that is good before God. So all the things that man that is not good before God has put together will end up going to the hands of who? The man that is good before God. So please ask your neighbor, are you good before God? To the children of God, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. For being a child of God, the starting point is joy. Like I always remind us, those of us that have gone through the school of disciples, we are told that the strongest weapon of the disciple is what? Is joy. Is joy. Remember that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Many of us, the day we got our visa to Canada, you were what? Oh, you were happy. Say, I'm finally leaving. I'm finally Japan. You were happy. But some of us, the day we landed in this country, reality caught up with us. And we still have not come out of that reality. And some are beginning to think, is this what I came here for? When you got the visa, you were happy. Because there's a difference between happiness and what? So, happiness will come because of an attainment. But the moment that attainment is gone, you want to move toward to the next level. The day you graduated from the university, were you happy or not? You were happy. But some of us, after graduation, we looked at the certificate for the first year, for the second year, for the third year, no work. Is the happiness still there? God will give you joy.
Amen.
Because joy comes from within, and joy lasts. And your joy will last in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But in order for God to give you joy, you must be good before God. You must be what? And what does it mean to be good before God? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. We know that passage very well. It said, come, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19 now says, if ye be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But verse 20 says, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So how can you be good before God? You must get to that point where you say, Lord, this is my sin. Take it away from me. Do what? Take it away from me. I no longer want to live as a sinner. I no longer want to live connected to sin. I want to live a righteous life. That's why Romans chapter 10 from verse 9 to verse 11 says, if you will confess with your mouth. With what? With what? When you are a Christian and nobody knows you are a Christian, you are not a Christian. Tell somebody, when you are a Christian, and nobody knows you are a Christian, you are not a Christian. What do I mean by that? Your Christianity, you are not living in China where they are killing Christians. Oh. You are in this Canada. Yet nobody knows that you are a Christian. It's hidden. Why? Because some activities that are caught with you, if you tell anybody you are a Christian, they will just laugh at you. Say, you? People say they are Christians. You too, you are saying so? Come on, shut up. So you don't want it to get to that point. The Bible says, with the heart man believes, but with the mouth what? Confession is made unto what? Righteousness. Confession is made unto righteousness. What do you profess? What do you profess? What do you confess? The Bible says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, it's talking about believing and confessing. It now goes on to say, if you believe, you will not be ashamed. Do you see the connection? The Bible is simply saying, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and your own Jesus is not a closet Jesus, it's a Jesus that is with you wherever you go, at school, at work, at anywhere you are. When occasion permits, people know you are a child of God. The Bible says that you will not be ashamed. If your Christ is a Christ that you are happy, you are proud of, he's also proud of you. Please ask your neighbor, is Jesus proud of you? It's very important. Or is he ashamed of you? Because if he is ashamed of you, you're already laying a foundation for shame. You will not be put to shame in Jesus' name.
Amen.
To those that are good, he gives wisdom, he gives knowledge, he gives joy. But he said to those who are not, to the sinner, he gives them endless travail. What's the meaning of travail? You'll be surprised. The word that is translated travail there, when you look at the scriptures, it's also translated as occupation, task, and job. Are those not good words? The word that is translated travail there, is a Greek word that is also this is Ecclesiastes. It's a Hebrew word that is also translated as occupation, task and job. So some of us, we are so engrossed with the work we do that we have no time for the family, no time for God care. If you come to church once a month, pastor should be you should thank God. Or maybe once in 2 months. And you think you are living the good life, the Canadian life. The Bible says you are traveling. You are traveling because God looks at you and he sees a sinner. A man, a woman that has got no time for God. Everything is about work, work, work. It's not me, it's there. That word, the Hebrew word is, if I pronounce it my own way, it's inyon. And it's translated occupation, task, and job. That is what is called travail. Tell somebody, make time for God. Brethren, is very important. Some of us are so busy that we don't even have time to pray. Until problem comes. And I guarantee you, brethren, it's not because you are a Christian or not a Christian. Every human being will have what? It's certain. Life is a sequence of examinations, one that will go to the next level. And when you get to the next level, the examination that you have to face with what will be higher than the one you previously done. That is what life is. You now have to make up your mind. Am I going to go through with God? Or do I go through with my own knowledge and skill? We must learn to make room for God. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. But it says what? The wealth of the sinner is laid up for who? Is it in your Bible? A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. That's why many in their lifetime, they are prosperous, they are doing very well, but because the source of what they are doing is very filthy, the moment they die, their wealth does what? It perishes with them. Some don't even die before the wealth disappears. Some, it is just, what do they call it? They will say, we have checked north and south, everywhere. They don't know what is wrong with the person, but all the so-called wealth, and it is completely wasted on that sickness. Then when the man is left with nothing, the sickness will disappear. Because it's a spiritual principle that we are dealing with. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Brethren, there is always a difference between Goshen and the dwelling place of the children of God. There's a difference between what? Goshen. What is Goshen? Goshen is that land where the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt. That was their own secluded area. When the plagues came upon Egypt, wherever the Egyptians were, they were, experiencing the terror of God. Experiencing the discipline and punishment of God. But what happened? For the children of Israel, they were exempted. And that's very important. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 22 to 24. Exodus 8, 22 to 24. He said, I will severe in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, to the end that thou may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Brethren, God is still proving that he is the Lord. It does not matter what happens in the land. God is still God. Tell somebody, my case is different.
My case is different.
Tell somebody, your case is different.
Your case is different.
Now, why is your case different? Because you are a child of God. Because it makes a separation between what happens to others and what happens to you. The same thing is in Exodus chapter 9, verse 24 to 26. Exodus 9, 24 to 26. Ultimately, we all know the story. When Israel left Egypt, the Bible says the children of Israel, they did what? They spoiled the Egyptians. They did what? So they did not leave empty-handed. You know, we were discussing this last Sunday. When we were talking about the hypocrites, The hours you put in to serve as a child of God, that place where you are working, where it looks as if they are cheating you. Now, just remember the story now. When we started this church, we moved into a place I call Mount Carmel. It's on Little Avenue there. And we stayed there for 3 years. Now, when we got there, as much as God will help us, we never owed them anything. We paid our rent for 3 years and we left. Now, after we left, somebody wanted to rent the place. And the person that wanted to rent the place was a member of this church. But the people did not know that the person they were talking to was what? A member of the church. So what did they tell him? Oh, they said, that church, what was the word they used? We fleeced them. This was the agent of the people that rented the place for us for 3 years. We never owed them. We paid them everything. They were now telling this brother that they fleeced us. They took money away from us. And in all honesty, we got to that place. I always tell us this. When we got to that particular location, they charged us $30,000 in our account. We were there for 3 years. When we left, how much did you have in our account? $30,000. So for 3 good years in that location, our finances did not, even our attendance, some people would just come and disappear. It was the spirit in that place. But where am I going? They were so proud of the fact that they had cheated us. I didn't pray about them. I have no business with them. I didn't even know about this. Do you know that particular place, we left the place 2010. This is 2024. We left that place 2010. If they've gotten tenants in that location that I'm talking about, maybe this year. So who cheated who? They got rent for us for 3 years. And they were proud of it. And for the next at least 10, 12 years, they had no occupants. And they will not know that, there are some things you don't eat. There are some people you don't cheat. Do you realize that? There are some churches you don't cheat. This is one of them. You can't cheat this. That's why I always pray one prayer. And what is that prayer? That sin will not have a hiding place in this church. And God answers that prayer. Because the Bible says, sinners, all they have is what? Travail. And they will accumulate and hand it over to the righteous. You will prosper in Jesus' name. God will prosper you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ultimately, brethren, when Israel left Egypt, the Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. All their wages, they collected. And you know, the Bible talks of restoration how? Sevenfold. Right? Sevenfold. So, when you do business with God, you don't give God 10 and get 10 back. Is that how God operates? He multiplies it. And we use 10 because that's the easiest thing for us to do what? To understand. Look at the case of Job. He lost everything he had. When God would bring his restoration, everything he had was doubled. Then he had 7 sons in place of the 7 that died. Then he had 3 daughters. And the Lord said his daughters were what? The most beautiful in all the land. There was none like the children of Job. God is still working on your behalf. Yes, tell somebody, God is still working on your behalf. All you need to do is stay true to this God. He sees what people think he does not see. He knows what men think he does not know. And I want to assure someone here today that God will give you joy. But he will give you joy when you successfully complete the assignment he has committed into your hands. And that's one area many of us are failing. What is that assignment God has committed into your hands? What has he asked you to do? What is it he has asked you to do? Are you doing it or are you still giving excuses? Please tell that brother near you, say, stop giving excuses. We are not looking at the sister, we are looking for brothers. Tell that sister, stop giving excuses. God expects you to do what he has assigned you to do. And when you do it, he will give you joy. God will give you joy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I say, God will give you joy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. Nehemiah 12:43. The Bible says, that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Now let's go to Ezra 6:22. The joy in Nehemiah was because they had successfully built the wall of Jerusalem. In Ezra 6:22, they had successfully built the temple. He said, they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful. God will make you joyful.
Amen.
And turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. There are four things, brethren, that God does when he makes a man joyful. Four things. Number one, he gives that man favor. He gives him what?
Favor.
The passage we just read says he gave them favor before the king of Assyria. They had favor. Ezra chapter 6 verse 14. Ezra 6:14 said, the elders of the Jews built and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. So number one, he gave them favor. You know the story of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1 verses 8 to 9, the Bible says Daniel proposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's rich food. What Daniel did not know is that when he was making up his mind that I will not defile myself, God went ahead of him and gave him what? Favor. Favor. You see, the moment you make up your mind that I am going to do my own things, I was talking with your brother yesterday. He said when he came to this country, he had some uncles, you know, those of us from God's own country, they will say one man will give back to the child, the whole village will raise up the child. And also, he has some uncles that he fell among them. And he said, come. Maybe some of us here are doing it. God will deliver you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He said, come. Saying, see, we don't pay insurance. So, we know how to work it. You just give us $200 and you'll get the papers for you. When they were telling him this, he even had no car. But they were trying to show him the way. Just only the way. So he realized very quickly that these uncles will destroy his part in life. He said one day he was coming from church. He was standing. The uncle's house was there. And police stopped uncle. An uncle that worked insurance with $200 could not braggado policeman. By the time they looked through the records, they found that he had no insurance. And he had been driving that car for more than 5 years. So they now went back into arrears. And when they gave him his ticket, it was for $10,000. Now, but that was not the end of the story, because that was what he had to pay unless he would go to jail. But because now he was a high risk, a high risk driver, his premium now will be high-risk premium. All because he thought he was smart. Maybe someone is here today. Before police catch you tomorrow, you better repent. You better repent. Now, why was this brother telling me this? God helped him. He moved out of that cycle. He said, I don't do my own things this way. This is not the way I was brought up. And he said, these days, those uncles now call him and say, I don't want to mention his name. Bro, how did you do it? How did you? Because now, he moves from one house to the other. He uses the type of car he desires. God has established him in this country. But it didn't happen overnight. God settled him. Don't let them deceive you. I know God is talking to someone here. Because one day, I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, I'm not praying, but I'm telling you the truth. One day, police will stop you. That's the truth. When they stop you, what would you say? His bro is what that, which bro? But when they call you, say, I don't know this guy. In fact, he will change his tonation. Say, I don't know what you're talking about. Praise the Lord. He gave them favor. Purpose to do the right thing, God will give you favor. That's only God will give you favor. Look at Esther. Esther was just a simple self. When the moment she stepped into the palace of that king, favor followed her. The king, the head of the eunuchs, he just saw her. She was simple. Others were asking for mascara. What else would they ask for? All those things that they used to decorate the head, the lips, the eyes, and everything. Esther just said, whatever you give me, I will take. But because of the favor of God. Tell only the favor of God. You know, some of us, when we finish masquerading and all those things, we look like masquerades. The person that's supposed to help us begins to do what? Run away from us. Say, if I see this woman in my dream. Esther was simple. She obeyed, and God gave her favor. Not just before the king of the head of the eunuchs, even before the king, she became the queen. What else do you want? The favor of God will establish you.
Amen.
Someone does not say. I said the favor of God will establish you.
Amen.
I said there are four things, right? That's number one, favor. Number two, when the Lord wants to give you joy, He strengthens your hands in the work. He does what? He strengthens your hand in the work. In 1 Chronicles 29 verse 12, 1 Chronicles 29 verse 12, the Bible says, both riches and honor come of thee, talking about God, and thou reignest over all, and in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength. I see someone here that God will give strength.
Amen.
I pray for someone here, God will give you strength.
Amen.
What others are doing, that they will do it for 1 year, say, I can't continue. You will do it and they will begin to wonder, say, how are you doing it? And God will lift you up.
Amen.
I say, God will lift you up.
Amen.
Because the God we serve is a God that gives strength. You know what Psalm 1 says? I don't know the verse now, but it says what? Whatsoever he doeth, I pray for someone here today. Whatsoever you do shall prosper.
Amen.
I say, whatever you lay your hands upon shall prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Psalm 29 verse 11. Psalm 29. He said, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Who are those he will give strength unto? Only his people. Remember where we started. Those that are good, who are his people? Those that are sinners, who are not his people? Tell your neighbor, ask your neighbor, which one are you? Are you good or are you a sinner? Because if you are good and you are among his people, he will give you strength. Strength that people will be wondering, how is he doing it? I know some of us will combine 2-3 different jobs. If you do it in the integrity of your heart, one day it will become what? It will become history.
Amen.
It will become history. Say, so this is what I used to do. I will do one, this one. I will do that one. I will do that one. And I will still find time to go to church. That's the one some of us don't want to hear. And I will still find time to go to church. But say, look at me today. I'm a testimony.
Amen.
You will be a testimony.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Number three, if God will give you joy, he prospers you through the word of prophecy. Through what?
The word of prophecy.
Many hear the word of prophecy, but there's no impact on their lives. Because they are not counted among the good, but among what? The sinners. But as a word of prophecy, with which the Lord will prosper you, that word will not only come, you will be prospered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Genesis 26, from verse 1 to 6, God told Isaac, there was famine, said, don't go to Egypt. Stay where you are. And many of us will say, I mean, this God is not smart. How can he tell me to stay here where there's no water, there's no food? But Isaac obeyed God. He stayed. And then God began to tell him. He said in verse 3, sojourn in this land and I will be with thee. I will bless thee. Unto your seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swore unto thy father. Brethren, many of us here, we have the promise of God. But the reason it's not coming to pass is that we are not going by it the way God has asked us to do. God met Isaac. God gave him that promise. And Isaac stayed. But you take the promise and you still go to Egypt. And you now want the promise to work in Egypt. Does it work that way? It will not. It will not. Because by the time you get to Egypt, you have ease. You have comfort. It's like some of us here now. The reason we don't come for night vigil again is not because we've never done it before. Yes. Many of us here in God's own country, Oriokekoyi. Yes. We used to go there to do what? And in that place, there is no bed and a mattress. You are either here to pray or you are here to play. And then when we leave and we go to, I think there's one, is it Baba Biji? There's one Orioke where there's Abiye. Where is that one? Ed, somebody's in the spirit. When you leave Ikoyi, you go to Ede. Some of us have a history of all, we know where they all are. There is one near Ibadan too. You are not going to Abaliso. You are just going to pray. Now you are in Canada. And they say, we have Navidi. You say, God is not wicked. So over there, God was wicked. They now say, let us go and pray. Say, this tonight's shift is very important. If I miss this one, that's the end. Tell someone, God will have mercy on you. Some people here don't want mercy. Tell somebody, God will have mercy on you. Now tell the person, God will have mercy on me. Me, I know I need mercy. He prospers them through the word of prophecy. Now Isaac followed obedience with faith. And then he reaped 100-fold. We love Genesis 26 verse 12 that says, he sowed in that land. He received the same year 100-fold. And God blessed him. It's because the word came. He obeyed. That's when he could sow. And he reaped. He didn't just drop from space and begin to sow. It's because he obeyed the word of prophecy. And the last thing I'm going to mention, The fourth one is that when God makes you joyful, the commandment of God will be backed up by the commandments of the earthly king. Is somebody with me? The commandment, you see, God has spoken to you. He's giving you a revelation. You just find out that one day, because Trudeau wants to win election, he will just declare that that particular situation you are in will be addressed. And then you get what you want. And then he loses the election. And the next government comes in and they reverse it. But what has happened? God has smiled on you. He has given you joy. You have obtained what you want. The rest is history. Then you can look back and say, this God is good. Tell somebody, this God is good. He will continue to be good for you. He will continue to smile upon you. Amen. Your testimony will be glorious. Amen. The commandment of God becomes the commandment of man. It's God that makes the pronouncement. And men, in fact, they may be doing it thinking they are obeying the devil. Not realizing what? They are doing what God wants them to do. That's what happens in Ezra. We are not going to read it. 2 Chronicles 36. 22 to 23, and Ezra 1:1-3. The Bible says that the prophecy of Jeremiah, which he made concerning the captivity, may come to pass. Then the king woke up one day. Verse 23 of 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Says, thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, All the kingdoms of the earth are the Lord God of heaven given to me. And he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is here among you, all his people? The Lord, his God, be with him. Let him go up. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah 70 years ago. The time came. And in order for God to fulfill his purpose, he spoke to a heathen king, an unbeliever. And the man woke up and said, I hereby make a decree. There is a God. I want that God to be happy. Go and build for him. I pray for someone here today. God will give you joy.
Amen.
I say, God will give you joy.
Amen.
He will change laws for you.
Amen.
The word of prophecy that has come unto you will come to pass.
Amen.
This season will be a refreshment for your testimony.
Amen.
God will smile on you.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads. Let's bow down our heads. Let's bow down our heads. Are you in church this morning and you are not born again? You are in church today, you've not given your life to Jesus. This is your time. Remember, we talked about the good and the sinner. God will not give that joy to someone who is not in his camp. And you can only be in his camp if you give your life to Jesus. Are you here today? You want to give your life to Jesus? You want to raise up your hand? We are going to pray together. If there's any such person, you want to raise up your hands, we'll pray together. Or maybe you are watching us online. If you are following online and you want to give your life to Christ, just say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Come in today and give me a new song from this day. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Now pray just one prayer point for yourself. Say, Father,
give me joy.
Open your mouth and pray. Give me joy. When you are telling God to give you joy, you are telling him that, number one, favor me. You are telling him that, number two, let those words of prophecy that have been released concerning me come to pass. You are telling him that, number three, the words you have spoken in heaven, let it become law on earth. Give me joy. Tell him, give me joy. Give me joy. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Give me joy, Lord. Give me joy, Lord. Give me joy. Give me joy, Lord. The Lord will give you joy in Jesus' name. Your testimony will be glorious. Father, we thank you. We lift your name on high. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Make this day a reference point in the life of somebody. For we have prayed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our sermon here on Christ Chapel TV. Tune in next time for the next sermon.
God,
God bless you.